I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com.
The document which I am going to sign was prepared by the North Koreans. I will sign the document to free the crew, and only to free the crew.
We, the officers, crew of the USS Pueblo, are writing you jointly to explain the facts and those points we consider pertinent to our capture. Specifically, that we intruded into the territorial waters of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and committed hostile acts.
Crew members of the U.S. Imperialist Armed Special Pueblo, which was captured while conducting espionage and hostile acts deep in the territorial waters of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
We're back again with legendary actor Hal Holbrook, author of his autobiography, Harold, The Boy Who Became Mark Twain, right here on the TV Time Machine. Tell us about Pueblo, the real-life incident, and what it was like to play the role of the captain.
Well, Lloyd Booker, Pete Booker, came from San Diego, and his wife, Rose, lives just north of town. And Pete is buried out in Point Loma. When I played San Diego several times, I don't know, about 5 years ago, I went out to the Naval Graveyard there on Point Loma looking for Pete's headstone. And I spent an hour and a half hunting for it. I couldn't find it. And I was leaving. I was very disappointed, and I stopped my car, and I went back, and I tried again to find his headstone. And I found it, finally. And there it was, a little marker with a number, with all the other markers, to all the other boys who had been killed or died, or who had died later in the Navy. And he was with the men he served with. And that was the key thing about Lloyd Booker, is that he was a part of his men. He was the only reprimand he ever got was for going around with his men, like, when they went on land, you know, like on leave, he would whatever you call it, you know, go in the company of his enlisted men, and he was an officer. Because he was brought up in Boys Town. It's important to know that. And when he was off North Korea in this ship that was a disguised spy ship that the United States had sent up there and put him in charge of it. And when he was off North Korea, and they had been discovered, and they had a plane going over discovering, and they had, you know, the North Koreans were coming out, and he was apprehended. He tried to get Admiral Moore's office down in Tokyo for something like 26 hours, I forget, an enormous number, call, to say, we're in the waters you put us in, the North Korean waters, we've been apprehended, we're going to be attacked, we're being attacked, you know, what do we do? And they were attacked by a plane strafing. They had, all they had, an armament on the Pueblo boat ship was some handguns and a 50-caliber Army-issue machine gun on the deck, sheathed in 2 inches of ice. It's cold up there, you know?
Right.
So one or two men was killed, I forget which. He was wounded, a couple others. And he had the choice of putting his men into the water. It was probably 35 degrees. They would last 5 minutes. There were 86 men left. He had the choice of putting his men in the water to die or to give up the ship. And he gave up the ship.
Hal, as you look back on your incredible body of work and your life and career to this point, What are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts? Well, I'm beginning to get the feeling that I have done well. You know, I've never been one to pat myself on the back. It's too dangerous to do that. But I'm beginning to get the feeling from what everybody is saying that I have done well. But there's so many things I would love to have done and so much I would like to do. And I'm getting old now and won't be able to do it. And I miss that. I miss the opportunities to keep going forward. You know, I'm out here doing Mark Twain on the road, which I've done for so many years, and I thank God for it that I have it, because I can still be heard. I can still use my voice to say things that I feel are important about our life, and that means so much to me, so much to me.
Hal, where can people purchase your book, Harold, the Boy Who Became Mark Twain, on Amazon.com, the usual outlets?
Where can you buy the book?
Yes, yes.
I don't know, in a bookstore, I guess.
Okay.
I guess you buy it in a bookstore. I can't carry them all around with me, so I'm not a good salesman. But, you know, it's just an effort to understand, you know, that little boy on the cover was me. My dear, dear wife put that picture in a frame on a table under a lamp I turn off every night in our home. And I used to look at that picture of that little boy about 10 years old, and I would remember what was going on in his life, his young life at that time. And he didn't have any parents, no people. They sent him away to school when he was 7 years old to make a man of him. And he had this headmaster who loved to beat kids with a big stick and never tell you why he beat you, make you cry. And that's that little boy on the cover. And I would look at that picture and I'd say, that's me. His name is Harold. I never liked the name Harold, but I thought, that's my name. I'm going to call the book Harold. And that's me. That's a little boy. And I decided one night I'm going to tell his story. And so I went and I got a legal pad out, and I started writing a book. And I finally did it.
Hal, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hal.
Thank you.
This is Jim Benson. Join us again next time as our magical transport takes us on yet another journey exploring television's past, present, and future. You'll find your next adventure right here on the TV Time Machine.